Call the April 19th Committee of the Whole to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Dandrea.
Here.
Alderman Mayor.
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderwoman Hanneman.
Here.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Nelson.
Here. We have a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Item two, business. Let's do the American Rescue Plan, then I'm going to jump out of order. Madam Director of Administration.
Okay, this is just an overview item, just to provide some information. Federal Act that was signed on March 11th, 2021, the American Rescue Plan Act. The City of Franklin has been allocated $3.54 million. That is going to come in two allotments, in one half in 2021, sometime around June 1st, and then the other half in 2022. The city will have until the end of calendar year 2024 to spend the money. The way the allocations were set up is based on, if you were a CDBG Community Development Block Grant community, it goes by that modified formula. If you're not a CDBG formula, which Franklin is not, it would just be by population. So in the list, you would see the community development block grant communities are usually the ones at the top with the larger amounts, and then it goes by population. For some of the cities, there were some issues with the allocations. I do not believe there is an issue with ours. I believe the $3.54 million to be correct.
Yeah, but Oak Creek's more than us, and they should be less if it's by population.
I think when the population numbers are from, they perhaps were a little bit more in
Never
population.
Happened. Never.
That's what the league was saying.
Never have they been.
Anyway. We can certainly check, but it's very close if it's not right on. And we will be getting a communication from the Federal Treasury no later than May 11th. That's going to explain both our allotment as well as the Treasury guidance on it. And I use that word loosely, guidance, because I'm sure, just like the CARES Act, it's going to be multiple times they're going to be updating the guidance, just because it's really hard to get everything right in a 60-day period. The money is pretty restricted as far as what it can be spent for. There's basically five categories. The first one is revenue replacement from COVID losses. The second one is COVID expenditures. Now, that includes direct city expenditures as well as assistance to small businesses, households, hard-hit industries, and economic recovery. So there is that's probably of the five categories, that's the one that maybe has a little bit of wiggle room in it. There's another category for premium pay for essential workers. And then the big one is investment in water, sewer, and broadband infrastructure. And we're told from the National League of Cities, who has a direct line to the Treasury, that that was intentional. And other infrastructure items are going to be covered in this infrastructure bill that is being worked on, should that come to fruition. There's certainly some other restrictions, can't ever go for tax abatement or pensions, et cetera. But again, we're going to hear a lot of those details when the Treasury comes out with the formal guidance. We do need to create a plan for the City of Franklin on how we're going to utilize the funds. But what we're going to do is we're going to kind of slow down and do it a little bit more methodically. We're going to do it with our 2022 to 26 capital improvement program process that we're going to kick off shortly here in 2021. The advice we've received to date, we've been on probably five is probably an understatement calls on this between GFOA, the National League of Cities, the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, Baker Tilly, and so many other organizations are coming out with guidance and advice. And the one thing that's ringing true with everything is take time to fully consider what we're spending it on in the long run for the city and its residents. One-time funds, obviously, not to be used for normal operating expenditures or to fill budget gaps. In fact, the state of Wisconsin Department of Revenue was on the call last Friday, and they said they're obviously going to be watching that very closely, so something we really need to worry about. And then they just said, just be aware. We talked about the infrastructure bill a little bit earlier. There's going to be other direct allocations available in these funds, as well as likely other allocations made. And so things that can be used with other dollars, we should refrain from using on these, just to strategize and act in the best interest of the community. But like I said, substantial amount of guidance is yet to come, and we're going to get a lot of direction. And we're already working with, I think last Friday there was about 118 cities on the call. So we're working with a lot of our peers to try to figure out, are there regional projects we could do? The state has told us that if we do regional projects, they may kick in some of their allocation to make our money go further, as well as just making sure we take the best practices as far as what kind of projects. So definitely working on that. Next steps, we're going to, of course, keep the council informed with updates as they become available. And as we work on the plan, the council is going to be part of that plan and then come back with a final plan at some point in the future. Any questions or clarifications?
Alderman Barber, and I don't think your mic's on. Hold on. Mike, hold on.
He's good.
Blue. Okay. Alderman Barber. There you go.
Peggy, is there a definition for essential workers at this point?
Essential workers are considered frontline, so that would be the police, fire, health, and some utilities.
Is that something personnel committee might want to look at in advance or wait until it's further down the line?
It's probably further down the line. We don't pay any premium pay. This is not for any normal hours or even overtime hours. This is for a premium pay, so a pay on top of their normal pay. So unless if the city would implement something like that, this one would not be for regular for pay.
So it would be a bonus and not part of the regular structure in any way?
Premium pay, it just depends what the guidance comes out with. It could be that, but right now they're telling us it's extra dollars or cents on the wage rate is how it's been explained from the National League of Cities so far.
Thanks.
Everything I've been hearing, and the mayors have been on calls on this constantly, is don't make so many decisions right away because there's more money coming for less restrictive things in the future. Also had a conversation with another alderman who was lobbying for streets, and I get that. We'll have a list of those too. So it's all on the table. So
yeah, and one thing in regard to the streets and some of the other bigger projects, one thing they have given us indication on is if we do have some larger projects that are coming infrastructure-wise, it would probably be in our best interest to go ahead and start getting those on the docket and designed, because much like a lot of other federal funding, when you have shovel-ready projects, those tend to be higher on the list as far as the ones that are authorized. So just another item for us to keep track of as we're going through that capital planning process.
Anybody else? Okay, no questions. We'll move on. I'm going to jump here because, as you all know, I hate to do closed sessions in the middle of a meeting. So let's move to C, initial discussion regarding the establishment use of the following, and there's the list. And Director of Administration and I have been working on this, as has the clerk. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to the Director of Administration.
Thank you. So I guess maybe I'm just going to start with a little bit of backup. How did we get where we're at today with this manual in front of us? As everyone knows, we did receive a recommendation from legal counsel from our insurance company. Okay, so we received a recommendation from legal counsel from our insurance company that the city should have more formal protocols in place as far as communications, et cetera. This was one part of that as well. The council has discussed this at a prior meeting on April 5th. On April 5th, talking about a handbook and what that might look like as far as what kind of resources would be available. As we discussed at that meeting, staff has been, along with the mayor, working on researching and gathering information on a number of different cities, a lot of different sources, League of Wisconsin municipalities. The cities we had looked at, there's a big number of them, but the main ones, Green Bay, Oshkosh, Menasha, Madison. And what we've been trying to do is pull the best of what we found from those communities and bring it together in a manner that's customized for the city of Franklin to serve us as well as we can. Since the city of Franklin already has a number of pieces of the needed information in different locations, i.e. municipal code, policies, administrative policies, et cetera, it would probably be a lot easier if we didn't have those, because we could just basically start from scratch and come up with maybe a little bit more comprehensive. But I think we have to deal with what we're dealt with and kind of pull together what we have. So in front of you tonight at your places, you will see a draft binder with a ton of information in it, I think, already. And then obviously things we need to discuss today, as well as continue on until we come up with something that's workable on the long term. In the front cover of your manual, there are two examples, one from the city of Mondovi, one from the city of River Falls. Those are ones that I was forwarded from Alderwoman Wilhelm. Just the indexes are in here, but we certainly have the whole manuals if you're interested in seeing them. But you can kind of see how they go. And if you look, you know, in cities, we're not real creative. We tend to copy each other. So if you look at those two books, you're going to see really closely that they almost mimic each other exactly. So then if we get to the table of contents, which is the first page in the document, these were kind of all the pieces that we've brought together so far from what we have here, what we have in state law, applicable to these topics, as well as a draft code of conduct and rules of order. So Franklin, form of government, I don't have anything in the binder yet, but everybody knows we're a council mayor form of government, and I can certainly provide some of that information as we go forward. We do have a draft code of conduct under the first tab. Again, a matter to discuss tonight, as well as some draft rules of order. In addition to that, I had pulled the Wisconsin State statutes on ethics. What I did is actually the city attorney had some stuff in the January meeting, so I just pulled that since he had it all marked up already. So that's in there, as well as the financial interest form for the city. In Chapter 19, it talks of our municipal code. It talks about council proceedings and how the meetings run. So what we tried to do is use that as a base layer for the rules of order. The rules of order should lay on top of the council proceedings and be maybe things that aren't codified, but they're things that the council may or may not want to implement. And again, none of these are set in stone, so that's what we're looking for tonight, is just a lot of discussion on that. But those are the council proceedings. I did include the anti-harassment policy for the city, since the elected officials are included in that, as well as a chapter 55 from our municipal code, which talks about officers and employees, as well as the organizational chart that the mayor had handed out a meeting or two ago. List of boards, committees, and commissions. Just so you know, we are planning to expand on that with the charge of each committee, board, or commission, as well as when they meet on a regular basis. Then there's just one page in that just talks about the index for the municipal code, just in case if somebody wants to get quick information to that, as well as a link to the online version. We've been talking a lot about policies, so what I did is I crafted a policy format document that we can use for policies as we go forward. I think having a good, strong policy format that we know the same things are going to be from policy to policy, we're going to know where to find things. There's also information in that policy form, and that talks about when the policy was created, how often it needs to be reviewed, etc. So it just helps us not to lose sight of those things. And then under the references and exhibits, I just put a couple articles, and I know you were all shared those articles already from the legal counsel from the insurance company, but I thought it was worth putting them in the binder. And then the last thing is a very long document, 300 and some odd pages, and that is the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. That's the official handbook for municipal officials. So what you're going to find in there is a lot of things, talking about the role of the mayor, the role of the aldermen or council members. There's a section on ethics. It talks about, you know, what's the definition of employee, what's not the definition of employee. There's things like legislative process, open government. It talks about financial and taxation, which is a lot of our budget and taxes, borrowing, land use, contracts, etc. So a lot of good information. That's general information. And then some of it, obviously, is customizable, of which we need to have our own information for. But that should be a really good reference. And we did just label those for every district, so our plan would be, we'd hope not to have to buy the things in this book don't change very often. In fact, the book you have in front of you, even though I just purchased it from the league in the last month, it's from February of 2017. that's about how often, you know, they probably update it maybe every 5 years. So that's a really good document. But again, to find the Franklin specific information, that would be when we'd look to our municipal code and our policies and handbook, or I'm calling it a reference manual. The only reason I called it a reference manual is to keep it separate from the handbook for Wisconsin municipal officials. And then I think as we get further down in this process, we can talk about, you know, those administrative policies we spent some time on April 5th. I think we have a plan to either update or replace each one of those items. However, as you all know, the day after the meeting, they did get put on the website. So that is taken care of. I think I have a number of policies that I'm looking to update. I'm basically what I'm going to try to do is at least 6 policies per year, so one every other month. I'll try to get more done if I can, but the bottom line is we just really need a lot of policies formalized, and there's just we just can't simply only work on this. So maybe a mix of some personnel policies, some non-personnel policies, in each year, and of course the ones that are the most needed by the city. For example, I have a brief purchasing policy in tomorrow night's council packet because that's something that we really are in need of for federal grants. So as high priority needs come up, we'll go ahead and do those first, and then we'll fill that in with other needed policies. So my proposal would be if we could go through the code of conduct, the draft code of conduct, and the draft rules of order tonight, and then maybe once a month we could talk about this, if it works for the council, once a month until we get this to a place where we have this process or protocol in place, and then we would just be in an update mode.
Okay, ground rules on this are very simple. I take no pride in authorship. And it changes our, I mean, this is our book, and it's mostly yours and mine, so this needs to be what you need it to be. We just have to be sensitive to what's already in ordinance. But after that, we can go through it section by section, or however you want to do it. Comments?
I have a question.
Alderman, go ahead,
Alderman.
So I know there, you know, the city attorney might have a comment on this, but in my mind, the mayoral directive is in place until it becomes removed. So kind of like our other policies and different things, until somebody changes it, it should be in place. Now, with that said, there are a lot of older policies in there under that administrative section. So the other caveat is we have to keep them relevant and up to date in order for them to live on across councils. For sure. And I just, the 6 that we put on the website, so for example, the first one is request for information. We believe that would be covered in these documents you're looking at tonight. Alderman notifications on seminars, we could simply add something into these rules of order that would say that the council should report at a council meeting, you know, when they go to, you know. So there's a lot of things we could do. There's something, one of the items are, you know, how do you include documents or items on the agenda for meetings? That's already in there, but certainly we could update it and just make sure it's relevant and ready to go. So I would say we should start probably on policies with those 6. And work our way from there.
Okay, let's do a paragraph at a time. Starting on page 1, the purpose, you know, anybody want to talk about the purpose? How about conduct with each other? Alderman Hanneman, push your button.
Thank you.
Wait.
Okay. Good. Awesome. As I was reading through the second paragraph under section two there, and these are minor, but the phrase, despite this diversity, I feel that that has a negative connotation and calls to mind that we should not have a diverse council. So I just would like that either removed or rephrased. And the final sentence, in all cases, this common goal should be acknowledged, and the council must recognize that certain behavior is counterproductive, while other behavior will lead to success. That's a very subjective statement, and I don't know if that needs to be broadened and... codifying which behavior is being counterproductive or and what would mean successful. I don't necessarily know the answer to that right now, but I think it's something that as we're moving forward, I mean, yes, we all know what counterproductive means, but I think it's just something to mull over as we move forward.
So let me offer a suggestion. I mean, we're all doing this for the first time. If we can agree on a change, let's do that. If there's something such as Alderman Hanneman just brought up, we'll bracket it and put her name next to it, and at some point, with a suggestion, we'll fix it. So my suggestion on your first one is just to remove despite this diversity. Okay? Okay? Anybody else on that? No?
Are we just sticking?
Push the button. Alderman Wilhelm. That's twice in 1 week. Sorry.
It's okay, Sven. we were joking about that on the way in. So I guess when I first picked it up and started to read it and I looked at some of the other handbooks that were online and especially the two, these start off with the form of government and the history and the policies, the role of the mayor and the council. And ours right away starts off with this conduct with one another. And while I feel it's great to have it included, it already sets this tone. And I'm wondering if we couldn't restructure this and have some of the other things that... are more helpful to how we function first and include some of this conduct stuff in the ethics section instead. It would just lend itself to being more friendly right off the bat because it just sounds a little heavy-handed right when you first open it up. So that's what I would suggest is not necessarily beginning with the conduct. And then... the first sentence under section two is that we finish with the purpose. Nobody's commenting on the purpose. We're on section two.
Well,
or
nobody did offer a comment, but you certainly can.
Okay. Well, I haven't compared any purposes, so I don't have any comments on that. So just because I don't have a comment tonight doesn't mean I'm ready to adopt it. Because I had no idea how this procedure was going to go out, that we were going to go through line by line and then tomorrow expect a vote on whatever we went through. So I guess I would like the time to look at the purpose of other committees and our cities and how they've written theirs up before I can say, oh, yeah, everything's great with that. So on section two, it starts off the common council and the mayor, here and after the council. And then I had a note, something about page 14. So it's so on page 14, it says.
We don't have a 14.
Not in that,
oh, the one that's in the packet?
Inside the council packet.
Okay, sorry.
What we were actually given to read for tonight, so. I don't know what this other thing is. It says council members serve on boards and commissions or committees. So in that instance, does it mean, does council members there mean common council one or mayor two or common council as, it just wasn't clear to me if, sometimes it's used, this document uses council, which seems to include the mayor, and other times where it references here, meaning the council includes the mayor. So I think in every instance where it's referenced, we need to be clear on who we're talking about on every single case. So the council shall try to refer to one another, you know, and then during public meetings as mayor. And so it just seems like a lot of it's directed at the council, but the mayor has its own, even though he's part of the council, if that makes sense.
The way to fix that might be, and this is open for conversation. By the way, I had no notion that we would take action on this tonight or tomorrow night. I had none whatsoever. So this is all good conversation. And by the way, this was cut and pasted from those organizations that the director of administration mentioned tonight. And I changed some words here and there and added a paragraph here and there. But generally, this is somebody else's document that I plagiarized. And Mrs. Steno plagiarized as well. So my suggestion on that one is we can add a sentence in the section heading that just says, hereafter, the word council shall apply to mayor and common council.
It does that once, but then later on it kind of takes a different turn where it doesn't really seem like it applies to everyone, even though it says it right under the first section of two. So it's just a little confusing in that sense.
Well, we'll write some clarification.
Okay. And then when under A, use of formal titles, it says, the council shall try to refer to one another. Usually shall and try don't necessarily go together. And so it says shall try to. Shall means you have to do it. And I agree with that. But what is this, like a one of these things where, oh, you know, they only called me council president and didn't use the name and title? I mean, how are we going to be on some flexibility with this word shall in there? Because it's, you know, if I just say mayor and then I don't say Mayor Olson, now am I in violation because I shall say?
It depends if I'm on a bad mood or not.
I know that. That's what that's my concern. Yeah.
And what happens when the mayor calls us by our wrong names then?
Now we're not going
there. Mayor?
Of course, Madam Director.
I think I can talk to you from experience on this one because I was actually in the community that we pulled the doc from on this, and that's why the try was in there, because this isn't a gotcha. It's just to add a level of respect to all of you and all of your positions. So I think, at least in the community that wrote this, it was
It's the understanding that the council, you know, will make every effort to refer or something like that instead of.
Mr. Mayor?
Can Alderman Mayor jump in? And Alderman Nelson wants to jump in too. Let me do Alderman Nelson first because he pushed in. Push your button, John, and talk softly.
I was just going to, is that good? I was just going to say, instead of the word try, how about attempt? The council shall attempt to refer to one another. I mean, if you want to just play semantics here, I understand what you're saying, but I understand the breadth of this.
I said make every effort.
Okay, whatever. I'm with it, but I agree with just, because I don't want to play the gotcha game too, where all of a sudden you find out 2 weeks later you get a letter from Peggy that you're in violation, whatever, then he signs off, you get a $25 fine, and then Glenn's knocking on your door to collect it, and, you know, we don't want to go down that path.
Alderman Mayor.
Just a quick side question, Mayor. Do we have a time limit for this particular discussion? Because this could take us into next week, and we have a really important matter after this with the water, I believe,
yeah,
which would also be time-consuming. So
they're not ready yet. But yes, I'm sensitive to that. Alderman Wilhelm.
It says, difficult questions, tough challenges, to a particular point of view, and criticism ideas are legitimate elements of free democracy in action. Every council has the right to an individual opinion, which should be respected by other council members. And then it goes on to say, the council members, which I guess is everybody again, shall not be hostile, degrading, defamatory. Of course, you know, that all works, but... my concern with this is, under whose judgment? Because there's been times where if I say something and then it's taken wrong, it's like, oh, you were doing this. So how do we make these judgments on, you know, who's being what? Because everybody knows when you get into a heated situation, even in your personal lives, that people take things wrong. And I guess... How far is this going to be taken? That you know, I've seen some heated debates up here, especially with previous aldermen, and it just was like a heated debate. And other times I've seen hardly anything, and all of a sudden it broke into like something that everybody took really, really critical. So I guess I just have some concerns about. Says you have the right to the opinion, but I feel like some of it's infringement on free expression.
If I may answer that, then on the next page, item C is one of the answers. And unfortunately, what you don't have is the other document that we're working on that includes guidance on that, that also says the council can declare a point of order. And there's references throughout about respecting the time of the council and the constituents and those kind of things. But the net of it is the way it always is. The presiding officer is in charge of decorum, and that's enforced and reinforced by the council. So that's the answer to that question. You still have four.
Well, again, I hope that the other council members will, you know, see that for what it is rather than for what each individual person could take something and that the council would weigh in. But it doesn't really say that because if it's totally the mayor. But anyway, there's disagree clauses. Okay, and then in under the role of the chair and maintaining order, I totally agree with the maintaining of order, but there's been times when there's just been a disagreement of opinion where someone can get cut off or interrupted just because someone doesn't really like what they're saying. So I guess I would ask for something about not cutting off or interrupting people when they have the floor. Another thing that happened at the last meeting while I was speaking is the handing out of papers or conducting other business in the council chambers while someone has the floor. That's very disturbing to the speaker, and I think that should be part of the maintaining the order.
Next item, D. But let me respond to your issue as to whether I wear a crown on my head or whoever sits in this chair wears a crown. They do not. If you read the next sentence, it says, if there is a disagreement about the agenda or the mayor's actions, those objections should be voiced respectfully and with reason, following common recognized parliamentary procedures, which is point of order, Mr. Mayor. And then the statement is, I object to the way the alderman was treated. I respectfully ask that the alderman allow more time for their point and move on. So most of this is in here or in the other document, but it's points well taken. But relative to what you just mentioned, the next paragraph covers that. No cell phones, no that kind of thing. And in the procedure, in the other manual we have, it clearly defines that you don't get papers the same night of the meeting. So go ahead, and let's respect that there's others that may want to talk.
Use of electronics, respect for each other, constituent, those appearing before the council, and no electronic devices. I mean, we're all having, there's laptops. I'm not sure if we should say no electronic devices. And as far as cell phone use being prohibited due to medical reasons and family reasons, I disagree that we shouldn't be able to have our cell phones. I haven't seen any abuse of cell phones. I can agree with the email, texting, and all that, but there are medical and family reasons, and I know when, I don't know what Alderman Mayer's position is now, but some of us have other duties that would require use of the cell phones. Also, if they're not allowed in the council chambers, then you're talking, you've got the police, and you've got constituents, and you've got... So I think we need a little work on cell phone policy. I don't think that, you know, we're not grade school. I think we're big kids. We know how to handle that. And I think that family far outweighs the city for the amount of compensation we get in this job, and we're all very dedicated. But I think that's just pushing it a little bit. I mean, we've had employees that took away cell phones, and then there was an emergency, and somebody, you know, nobody had a phone to call anyone. And we're just in a day and age where cell phones are actually more helpful than they are harmful. And I'll, I have some others, but it's time for someone else to have the floor.
Okay, let me ask that you all reread the paragraph. It specifically says you won't use the stuff during very finite numbers of events, where if you do use them, frankly, you're being extremely rude to the people in the audience and your constituents. The second part of yours, whether cell phone is turned on and in your pocket or not, it's not an issue here. It's not addressed here. It says you don't use your cell phone while you're at the table. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen aldermen texting other people and looking at emails during council meetings and receiving texts and emails during council meetings from people in the audience. So let's be careful about what you take out. Okay? And it's in there. It's not, this is not you're going to die tomorrow. This is don't use them. That's what it means. Alderman Nelson, push your button.
Okay, with this use of electronics, to make it simple, I don't agree at all with having no, because it says is prohibited at all times during meetings. So I don't think that's reasonable. I don't think it's, I'm not going to abide by that because I have responsibilities with family, job, like we all do, that if I have to check something, I'm not going to be an idiot and stand here in front of everybody and start doing this. But if I'm going to have to discreetly check something, I'm going to check it. And that's how that's going to work. And I don't think this is reasonable. I don't think, I think we're looking for a solution to a problem that really doesn't exist. You've made some references. Well, then maybe that should be brought up with the person on the side, if that's a real issue. I, maybe because I sit in this far end and I'm half blinded by this thing up there, that I don't see these things happening. But I don't know. That, my point is, I don't think that should be in there.
It's your manual. Alderman Barber.
As far as cell phone use and electronics, I mean, I've seen and I've been probably naughty in that myself in some ways. But looking up menus and watching sports scores and things like that, doesn't fall under this. So how do we take those things out of the equation that are being misused now and keep it as something viable for when there is an emergency? So, I mean, I think there has been abuse of this, so I don't want to see it eliminated. But how do we craft that just to include the fact that there might be an emergency? Or a legitimate use for a cell phone? But I've seen it many times here on the council where others have been doing that.
We'll come back with some other language. Alderman Hanneman, push your button.
Thank you, Mayor. I was just going to suggest instead of some different verbiage, instead of is prohibited, is strongly discouraged at all times during meetings. Might be dialing it back a little bit.
Okay. Section 3, comments?
I had a meeting the other night, and one of the people on the board couldn't get on to the regular, and I had to use my cell phone and put them on speaker to allow them to participate in the meeting. And also, if you're doing a Zoom meeting, you're going to have a cell phone there. You can be sitting in a Zoom meeting, and people can be throwing all kinds of texts in. You can do all kinds of things, and no one's going to know it. So just because we're sitting in one particular room, yeah, if I have seen people checking baseball games, I've seen things too, but for the most part, I have not seen any wide use of abuse on this, and I agree with the suggestion from Alderwoman Hanneman to tone it down just a bit.
Mr. Mayor? Somewhere in here, we need some kind of a statement that common sense must prevail.
I'm not responding to that. Paragraph, section 3. Anybody have issues with this? Or suggested changes or additions? All right, if you do later on, let us know. Well, this is all in your packet.
I know, and I have all kinds of comments, but I have to read it in reference to my comments because I didn't memorize.
Alderman Nelson, turn your mic on. Push your mic.
I guess one of the things, a few, depending on where you are in the city with different projects that you've got going on, you've got a lot of moving parts with a lot of developing, a lot of developments, a lot of things. And when you've got, whether it's developers or you got citizens that are having problems in a certain area with the city and they feel they're not getting somewhere in the city, they call us, obviously. Everybody knows that. Everyone on this board knows this. And then what our only option is to do is listen, and then let's say I call Glenn. I'm not directing Glenn to do something. I'm asking Glenn on a status. I think this is this chain of command, what it almost, when after reading this whole manifesto, it almost thinks that we're getting our wings kind of clipped. And I just want to be very cautious about us being able to be problem solvers in our own districts and having that ability and the right to do that and not have it reprioritized by someone else, whether it's you or whoever's sitting in that middle chair. And I think it's a big part about the respect thing. Absolutely, 100% agree, 100% agree. But to solve our own problems, we are going to have to reach out to staff. Absolutely we are. And that's, as long as that professionalism exists, it takes the onus off of you, so you're not getting six crazy phone calls from six crazy electeds about their issues. But I think, you know, until there's more problems, it just seems there's a lot of conduct. This thing is just screams conduct, screams one-sided respect issues. And I just have to, I agree with Alderman Wilhelm to go through a lot of this. I like what it's saying, but I also don't want us to be taken out of the ability to solve our own problems.
I think we ought to move on from this, let the council have time to go and read it again, and offer any suggestions in writing, because this is going nowhere. Alderman Nelson, should the council member see a deficiency, need a project or task performer, have a special request for service or any other directive for staff, they should communicate that preferably in writing to the mayor or director of administration. council members shall not direct employees in their work. Nowhere does that say you can't talk to the department heads. So let's move on. I ask that you guys read this. We'll put it on the agenda for next. What is this? This is May? No, this is April. We'll put it on May 1st. The first meeting, we'll have a committee to hold the first meeting of May, because obviously this needs to be read again. Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I did read it, and I took lots of times to make notes, and I guess what I have to say is there have been so many in-house policy changes to the process of how we do our job that it's becoming impossible for me to move left or right. And it's, you know, I have an issue, and I'm not really sure even where I can go anymore, because these restrictions of, oh, it can only be this staff member, and if this staff member's not there, then I can't go down the next chain of command, because we're told, oh, it can only be this particular department head, and if you say it wrong and it comes out like you're making some request, then all of a sudden you're in trouble for making a demand or something. It's taking on kind of a life of its own. And one thing I have is this comment where it says, each employee has a specific role to play in serving our constituents. That role is defined with approval of the council. Each specific common council alderman has a very specific role to play in serving our constituents. And that is becoming harder and harder to do. And I don't want to make our jobs harder. It used to be, I got an issue, you know, oh, this didn't get plowed. I could call up and say, hey, could you check this out? And it worked. And now it's like, well, I better not, because someone's going to see that as this. And then you could get this, you get your hand slapped for that. So while you say it doesn't, I've already gotten an email that's been told staff not to call me back. And that's really hard for me to deal with. And there was no other direction for someone to take that issue. So the other thing I have is, what do we do when I think we have new staff that hasn't worked in a government position, and they really don't understand how challenging our jobs are. And I used to take a lot of the brunt for staff. And, you know, when someone call up, and they're not always the politest when they say something about how some employee handled something. And then I could tone it down and help them out and work through it and find information from the specific staff person. But now it's like, stay out of it. You know, and it doesn't, I don't think staff understands our role can really help make their jobs easier. We are the go-between between oftentimes the angry constituent. And I'm okay with taking on that role. I'm okay with assisting and trying to be the mediator. And maybe other aldermen don't want to work that way, but I want to be able to do my job the way I feel I need to do my job as an alderperson. And I've been at this, I've been coming to council meetings for over 20 years, and it's like my fourth term as an alderman. There's never been any problems up until fairly recent, when a lot of these restrictions have come into place. So the other thing is, what do we do when we have the council makes motions and motions are not carried out? I need some policies on where do we go with that? Where do we go when a motion isn't carried? I have some motions that the Quarry Committee put in the council approved. They've been out there for 2 years and haven't been carried out. Where do we go with that? I mean, you have a committee doing work. You have a committee making recommendations. You have a council unanimously voting on those recommendations. They don't go anywhere, and you're kind of frustrated as a council person trying to get your work done for your constituents. And you've got nowhere to turn after that point. So we're here at the Committee of the Whole for discussion. We're having discussions. This is a really good thing. And I'm not sure that cutting it off, I mean, we've waited to this point to get to this. Maybe we do need to continue on with this. You know, just because maybe some of the things we're saying aren't quite aligned with how the document is written and we're not all agreeing with it, doesn't mean we're not making progress. So I set the night aside. I spent the time on the weekend reading this. You want to put this in front of us, then we put it in front of them. We're here to discuss it. Let's discuss it. That's how I feel about it.
Okay. Well, if we're going to discuss it, I want to hear from five others, Alderman. If it's going to be the Alderman Wilhelm show, I'll just have her write it, and we'll move on.
Point of order. Point of order on that.
Yes, ma'am.
Mayor?
The Alderman's got a point of order. What is your point of order?
The comment about the Alderman Wilhelm show, I have not stopped anyone up here from raising their hand and talking. They all know they can talk. I've let the floor go when I had other comments.
Alderman Barber.
There's been times right here in this council chamber when staff has been abused. They've been criticized in public. They've been demeaned. And there's been nothing to change that. And I think those are the kind of things that we're talking about here, not trying to limit personal privilege or personal involvement. There's a way to do it that makes sense, like common sense, how to go about doing things. And there's ways that are detrimental, and I've seen people do it, take task with people that shouldn't be happening here. And so those are the kind of things that we want to moderate. We don't want to moderate people working with staff. We want to have a code that defines that relationship and puts it in a positive text. And I've read through this myself. I mean, you're not the only person that reads through it, because I've done it. But I'm hearing your comments for the first time. So I'd like to see your comments maybe be submitted to Peggy, or any additional comments be submitted to Peggy, so that they can become part of a process that is an ongoing review. That's my thought.
Alderman Dandrew, you're not going to talk, I'm going to make you talk.
Thank you, Mayor Olson. Well, I took this document to be used as a guideline and a tool. And it was about code of conduct. And we're supposed to take situations, but also remember we've got also an underlying document called Robert's Rules. It's each line item, and we can parse the words, we can say, I like this adjective better than this adjective, or I don't like this adverb, okay? I mean, and there's some fine tuning, but this is something that is going to go on much further than us. It's gonna go on into many councils. And so, when I read this, I did not look at it from a personal, this is not a personal vindictive, okay? It is a code of conduct. It's something we could have called it, hey, common sense, okay? But there are some people there are some individuals, and there's going to be individuals in the future that are going to take advantage of situations. And this is to make us all alert and cognizant that, hey, if we don't approve of it, please speak up and utilize the point of order process in Robert's Rule. And we're trying to keep a flow and some consistency, and make it fair to employees as well as non-employees, to the council members as well as to the employees of, and the staff. I don't think any staff, I think some of us are reading way too much into it. And we've got to look, you know, and hey, the recommendation, let's go back. If you have, I like the recommendation by Alderman Barber in regards to, if you've got a lot of points, bring them to the city administrator, and let's get all those points, and then people can have a chance to vet those points, okay? I mean, we've gotten through a couple pages, and at this rate, we're going to be here till midnight, okay? Not that it's not worthwhile, but I think a lot of the discussion that we're having is we're agreeing to disagree, and that's what's happening here. Is I didn't think that much was wrong with this document, and I didn't take it personally. I use it as a guideline, and it's just making us more cognizant to be respectful for each other and use the proper titles, keep the decorum the way that it was intended to be. We've become too unprofessional. Well, you know, we're friends, we're associates, but there is a presence that's conveyed out into the future, not just via microphone today. It's also via Zoom and ongoing images and short candid movies, okay? And so how we come across is a lot more visible, and if someone really wants to take that to note, they're gonna see, and it could be blue, it could be sent out. So I mean I like some of the recommendations to ease up on some of the terminology that's used, but I'm not gonna change that. I wouldn't agree to changing that much. Because if we change too much, we're gonna open it up, and you're gonna lose all the work that you're putting together just to soften it. Let's just move forward. It's a code. And you don't like it, but the first word on it is City of Franklin's code of conduct. Okay? That's what this is. Or should we soften that up too? I'm just making rhetorical statements here. I mean, we don't like it, but we had a significant enough situation that arose at the council level that we had council make some recommendations to us. We should heed the advice and start to incorporate these things to make it more professional to the citizens and our constituents. That's my opinion.
Alderman Hanneman.
I think that was very well said by the council president, so thank you for that. And I agree, there's a lot of minutia here that we can really get bogged down in that we may not want to, because then it becomes counterproductive for all of us. My initial thought was to send all of my comments, you know, type them out and send them to the mayor and to the city administrator. And then I thought, oh no, because I didn't want to be doing anything out of the public record, so to speak. So I like the idea of being able to send our comments and have administration kind of synthesize those or bring the major discussion points back to us at our committee of the whole on May 1st, you know, so that we can get to where we need to go quicker. But I do agree that that just having some things codified and going forward presenting things more professionally. Along these lines, and at one point in here, we start getting into the public comment periods and things like that. But I would also like to see sort of the rules of public comment periods on a poster on our walls, you know, because I think it stands for everybody who comes in and upholding the dignity of our community, whether we are an employee, whether we are an elected official, whether we are a citizen who's really upset because we've seen how things can go south in that environment at certain times in the past year too. So keeping everybody on the same page where that's, because the community needs to know what they can expect from us as well.
That's in another document, but it does exist. Alderman Wilhelm.
I guess I was sort of hoping, this code of conduct, that's all real great, and, you know, obviously I think we know how we're supposed to act, but I think the level of frustration, which puts most of this unnecessary, is having equal addressing alderpersons and fairness and who has access to who and who gets access to what information when and how things get carried out by what motions are made. I think that speaks a lot to how deep you need to get into all of this other information. And it used to be, and some of you were here when Alderman Solomon was here, and the policy was, get all your questions answered before you come to the meeting and don't waste our time at the Common Council meeting. And now it's, you're limited to staff and who you can talk to, and if it's only department heads and department heads aren't there, you get your thing on Friday, you can't talk to a staff member on Saturday or Sunday. You call on Monday, they're not there, like, you know, for this meeting, you don't get a call back right away. And then you're limited on the staff contact or content you can talk about, I should say, at the meeting. So I guess what I was kind of looking for is more policies and procedures on how we can do our daily jobs, how we can get through, what should we each do with mail received? Are we required to give it to the clerk? The clerk knows I always give her. In fact, I have one for you. What about giving the alderman the intralink that was supposed to be given to us so we have more access to information? How about the alderman's personal information on the website with identity theft and addresses that are available? Home addresses are out there. I think we should maybe rethink
how. Alderman, excuse me one second. This is precisely what's being called out in this document. You're currently not on the topic of the code of conduct. You're offering us some additional information that you'd like, which is all valuable, but it's not germane to the topic in front of us. This is what this document's supposed to help with. And frankly, what you just brought up, most of it's in another document, but some of it isn't. So I appreciate the comments you're making, but they're off topic.
Well, I would like to say that the council agenda item has code of conduct, rules, common council rules of order, handbook, policies. Those are all things that I'm talking about. It's not off topic on the agenda.
That would be, by the way, that would be an objection to the mayor's ruling, at which point the council would vote aye or nay, but we're not doing that yet because you didn't adopt it. So, but this again is part and parcel of what we've been talking about and what's in front of you. You've got issues, but now you're occupying all the rest of the council's time on what you have issues with, rather than addressing me or the director of administration, which has always been the case through Mayor Taylor and me. So
I would
you
like
still
to
have the floor.
Point of order on those direct personal attacks on the alderman. I have worked extremely hard for this city, and I don't deserve to be treated any differently. And yes, I might have opinions that are different than yours. And yes, I have a lot of questions, but that doesn't mean I should be stifled on my opinions. And it sounds to me like we don't really want to hear what your concerns are. Go type them up and send them off. And you know what? This is the policies that you want. I'm not going to be here that much longer. So if this is how strict you want to make your council and this is what you can all live by, then I guess that's the way I think it's really going to cause some problems in the future. I think it's a little bit too heavy-handed on how the council needs to work. I'd like to see more of the common council policies carried out, because we shouldn't have committees making recommendations and council making motions and them not going anywhere. So I'm just going to leave it at that, and you all can do what you want with that.
Alderman, you mentioned a number of times that committees offer recommendations and requests and motions are made. I would like a list from you of specifically what motions were made and what actions haven't been carried out.
I brought them to the Common Council one time and they were ignored.
Then I would like to see the documentation of that too. Because I keep hearing this, and yet I'm unaware of any motion by this council that's not been followed through on. So, okay. On this document, anybody else? So we're all going to agree that we're going to take a look at this. If you have the facilities, we can give you the electronic copy of this. If you turn on track changes, if you're using Word, or obviously a program that does that, please turn on track changes so we can make a consolidated page easily. Anybody else on that? Okay, so with that, we'll move back to the closed session. Excuse me, Jesse, sorry. I need to get the language here. Put a tab here. My apologies. I don't have the motion. Is there a motion under closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Stat 19.85 sub 1 sub E to deliberate upon information, the terms and provisions of potential provision of public water supply to the city of Franklin is related to the city, the municipal water, Franklin Municipal Water Utility and its customers in 2024 and beyond, and the potential negotiation of terms in relation thereto, including but not limited to potential amendments to the agreement Old Creek to provide water at wholesale to Franklin, potential agreement terms with alternate public water supply sources, including but not limited to the City of Milwaukee and the Milwaukee Water Works, and the investing of public funds and government actions in relation thereto for competitive bargaining reasons, and to re-enter open session at the same place thereafter to act on such matters discussed you're in as it deems appropriate. Hold on.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. For those watching on YouTube, we're going to discontinue the stream now. We will, if we come out of open closed session and have an action item, we'll restart the stream. But if there is no stream afterwards, that means no action has been taken. So with that, Madam Clerk.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Hanneman.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
That's six ayes. No noes, no absence, no abstentions. We are in closed session. Without objection, members of the Board of Water Commissioners. It is 8:36. I'm sorry, 8:34. What is your...
Late.
See, you're just used to saying no, right? It's 8:34. We're back in open session. No action will be taken on the previous closed session item. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Barbara Nelson, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.